on a, what, Thursday morning. Welcome in. It is Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis right here on The Fan, taking you up until 5 o'clock, at which time it is the warm-up show that comes your way. The number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019, the telephone number to get involved with the show. And, of course, lots of New York Knicks talk tonight. Knicks go out, handle their business. Maybe not the most pleasing to the eye performance. It was not a blowout like we saw back in game one. Was not a blowout like we saw in the games against the Hawks to wrap that series up. But maybe in some ways a little bit more of an impressive performance by the Knicks tonight to be able to go out there, handle their business on a night where things did not go smoothly. You find out before the game there's not any Mitchell Robinson dealing with some sort of illness, so hopefully that's just a one-day kind of thing. And he'll be back for game three on Friday. But the game gets underway. Knicks run into immediate foul trouble. Karl-Anthony Towns up to some of his old tricks, not able to stay on the court. And really, as the Knicks get the win 108-102, we really do have to give credit to the one aspect of the game that handled their business better than anyone else, and that would be the officials. Guys, fantastic job. What a performance. The NBA, you can always trust the NBA to keep these games interesting, man. It's not the WWE, but sometimes it's not far off. Because the officials handled their bit. They kept the Knicks in check throughout that first half, boy. They did an amazing job of keeping these games close. And look, now that the Knicks are up two games, get ready for Armageddon in game three. The officials are going to be on their game. They got to get this series as long. They don't want a sweep. They don't want five games. They need programming. You know, they have all these different channels. They have to have programming for these channels. If it's on ESPN or NBC or Amazon or Peacock or wherever the heck the games are. But for the Knicks, they go out and handle their business. They get the job done in the fourth quarter. The defense shows up. They hold the Sixers to just 12 points in the fourth quarter. 4 of 9 shooting in the fourth quarter. 1 of 10 from three in the fourth quarter. And that's where these games are decided. And the Knicks able to get the job done. Mikal Bridges hit a big shot. Jalen Brunson up to his old tricks late in this game. So the Knicks find a way to get a win. But the win is kind of tampered down by some because we have spent, think about how much time we have spent coming into this season with the goal clearly in mind, and the goal feels closer now than ever before for the Knicks, getting not just back to the Eastern Conference Finals, but getting back to the NBA Finals. And all season long, we've tried to figure out, all right, who's the team? What is going to be the roadblock? What is going to be the challenge for the Knicks for them to not be able to accomplish their goal? Is it this team? Is it that team? Sometimes in the course of the year, it was the Pistons with the way that they were able to beat the Knicks. Or people maybe they were worried coming into the Hawks here. Oh, the Hawks are going to be more of a challenge than you think. Or maybe it's the Cavaliers at one time were the betting favorites in the Eastern Conference. Or maybe some people had the Celtics before they went down in the opening round of the playoffs. But tonight, we got to see what the greatest roadblock for the Knicks in this playoff run will be. And it's certainly not the 76ers. It's health. It's injury. Because as great a win as that was to go up two games to none and now have a controlling handle on this series without knowing what's going on with Joel Embiid. And let's be honest, Sixers played a whole lot better without Joel Embiid. They played a completely different style or far more up-tempo, far more cohesive on offense. And it was a far more competitive game, back and forth pretty much the entire time. So who knows if Embiid will be back for game three. And even if he is, who knows if he'll be back for game four? You know, Joel Embiid is not exactly a guy who is, you know, he's never going to be confused for Cal Ripken Jr. He's never going to be confused for Lou Gehrig. He's not exactly putting up a string of starts and games and performances at this point in his career or at any point in his career. But for the Knicks, what hangs over this win is what went on near the end with OG Anunoby. And of course, if you saw the game, you've probably seen the clip. It did not look anything overly dramatic. If you didn't get to see the game, about 2.5 minutes to go, OG kind of makes a cut. Seems to, and it wasn't something obvious. It wasn't something until you went back and looked at the video that seemed to be favoring the back of his leg, his hamstring, went up for a dunk, and then shortly afterwards came out of the game hobbling. And down the stretch of this game, which was a game in the final couple of minutes of this game, there was no OG Anunoby on the floor. There was no OG Anunoby on the bench. And now you have to kind of wonder what his status is going to be for not just game three, because I think the Knicks will be able to find their way through this series without, if OG Anunoby is compromised, and certainly with the short turnaround with game three on Friday, major questions of whether or not OG Anunoby will be able to go. And it's kind of reminiscent of a couple of years ago in the series against the Pacers. OG Anunoby went down with the hamstring injury back then, and was not able to return until he gave it a go in Game 7, but was clearly even then compromised in that series and was not the same OG Anunoby that he was before the injury. So now you just kind of have to hold your breath, because the Knicks did not give you any update after the game. Mike Brown did not give you any information. So I'm sure that over the next 24 hours, we will get some news about the status of OG Anunoby. But look, this has always been, and I guess in these NBA playoffs, the more you see it year in and year out, these things are just a war of attrition. And you might have one team going into a playoff series or going into a postseason, and who you got left by the end might be a completely different group, and you're going to have to roll with the punches. And look, the Knicks, when healthy, they are the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. I think that the best team in the Eastern Conference. But injury was always going to be their greatest challenge, whether or not they were going to be able to stay healthy throughout this playoff run. And now with the situation with OG Anunoby, we don't know anything. The Knicks haven't said anything. There's no reports out there right now outside of what I told you about him leaving the game with a couple of minutes to go and not being even on the bench. It was not the type of thing where he just needed to blow or he just had some cramps or he just was dehydrated or something like that. So you kind of have to hope for the best but expect the worst if you're a Knicks fan. But this was always going to be the challenge for every team. And it feels like every single year we see more star players go down with injury. Last year, it was, of course, Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton. Years before that, we saw Kevin Durant go down with the Achilles injury. You know, these things do happen. And with OG, let's be honest, the big question with him, and he has been playing as well in these playoffs as at any point of his Knicks career. I mean, he has turned out, and at points last night, he was the guy you went to. You know, with Karl-Anthony Towns sidelined with the fouls and not being able to be on the court. When he was on the court, he was dominant, but was not able to be on the court for all that much, certainly not in the first half, and even ran into some problems in the second half. And while Jalen Brunson puts up a typical kind of Jalen Brunson-type game, there were big moments last night where OG Anunoby, again, leading the way, 24 points, doing the job on defense, had 4 steals in the game. Was a plus 12. So if he is now going to be missing for any length of time, that's a concern. And with this Knicks group, it's always about it. Like we've seen during these playoff runs that they've had here the last couple of years, there's always moments where you kind of have to hold your breath, right? There's been moments when Jalen Brunson has gone down with things. And you think, oh my gosh, what? Oh, but then he comes back out. He's not missing any time as a result. Josh Hart certainly had the injury tonight with either his thumb or his hand or something like that, but was able to play through it. Mitchell Robinson at times has certainly had injury issues to deal with. So this is the great challenge for the Knicks. And now you just kind of have to hold your breath when it comes to OG Anunoby. Now, I do think that the Knicks, even if OG is not able to go in game three, even if he's out for longer than that, that they have enough to get through this series, because let's be honest, the Sixers are fortunate to be here, And while it might have been a frustrating game for some Knicks fans to watch last night, no Embiid, Knicks having this much trouble putting away a Sixers team that's playing shorthanded, that has to be an incredibly frustrating game for the 76ers. You know, find out before the game that Embiid is not going to play, and I don't know how much of a shock it really could be to the 76ers that there's a specific night where Joel Embiid is not going to play. But they did a lot of the things that they wanted to do. Tyrese Maxey was a problem for three quarters of that game. Finished with 26 points, but did not do much in the fourth quarter at all. Edgecombe, not much of a factor in the fourth quarter. In fact, not a factor in the fourth quarter at all. Paul George, who's nailing three after three for the first three quarters, not a factor in the fourth quarter at all. So for the Sixers to have an opportunity to go on the road, not have your star player in Joel Embiid, to be going up against the Knicks team that's looking to put the foot on the throat, and for you to be in that game going to the fourth quarter, that has to be an incredibly, far more demoralizing than game one. Game one, you can kind of explain that away. And I would wonder, because I heard it after game one and I heard it after game two, are the Sixers ever going to be well-rested? Like, I heard after game one, well, you have to kind of expect that they weren't going to be able to compete. They're coming off of game seven. It's a short turnaround. It's not really fair to them. But then I heard tonight, well, you know, they were gassed in the fourth quarter. They don't have Embiid. Guys, it's the playoffs. You're going to be dealing with some stuff here. The games are coming, you know, the NBA playoffs are not exactly a sprint. They take a while to run through. So I don't know what you need to do. Get a hyperbaric chamber, get your rest, maybe try some melatonin, maybe don't go out after the game. I don't know what you got to do. But you're halfway to being home for the rest of the playoffs, and then you'll have plenty of rest. You'll have plenty of rest then. And really what it comes down to for the Sixers is game three. That is a absolute must-win game. If they have Embiid, if they don't have Embiid, they must win that game to have any chance of making this a competitive series. And this has been a very demoralizing first two games. To get blown out by basically 40 points in game one, and then to get the whistle that you got in the first half of game two, to be able to overcome the loss of Embiid, for Maxey to be doing what he's doing, for Paul George to be doing what he's doing, for the Knicks not to be able to take advantage of things, for Karl-Anthony Towns to be playing basically 5 minutes in the first half of the game, and you still can't get a win, for OG Anunoby to go down in the final couple of minutes of the game, for him not to be a factor, and you still are not able to get a win, at some point to win the series, you've got to win a game at Madison Square Garden. And I don't think that you're going to have a better opportunity than you had in game two. So for the Sixers, very demoralizing. For the Knicks, not pretty, not perfect. But now you have to deal with what the real challenge for this Knicks group is, and it is health. And the questions that will be about OG Anunoby here over the next 24 hours, Knicks fans are going to have to kind of cross their fingers and hope that he is not gone for any length period of time. Because it just figures, right, when everything seems to be going perfectly, there's always something, there's always got to be another shoe that drops. There's always got to be some sort of problem that arises. That's just the way it is. And maybe that's the way it is for anybody. It feels like that's the way it is for Knicks fans. You know, to be on this run that they're on right now between the final couple of games against the Hawks, that first game against the Sixers, the way things are kind of opening up in the Eastern Conference where it feels like it is the Knicks Eastern Conference to lose at this point. And then to see OG Anunoby go down with what, I know nobody wants to play doctor on the radio. If it's not a hamstring injury, that would be a shock. The guy has dealt with hamstring injuries before. He is, you know, for lack of a better word, an injury-prone player. He's dealt with a lot of injuries in his career. And the difference between him being out there and him not being out there is major. Now, in terms of this game last night, a lot of heroes. I mean, the way that Karl Anthony Towns was able to dominate, even in the short period of time, only played 27 minutes, but finished with 20 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, when he was out there, the Sixers had no answer for him. They had no answer for him. With Embiid being out, and look, even with Embiid being in there, I don't know that they would have any. I mean, Embiid at this point is a shell of what he was going to be. And look, if he's back for Game 3, how much of a difference is that going to make? This guy has chronic problems, chronic health problems. So the fact he's not able to go in Game 2, I don't know what version you're going to get. Is it going to be a better version than Game 1? Because he was a mess in Game 1 too. I'm sure if he goes for Game 3, the officials are going to help him every step of the way. I mean, it's amazing some of the calls that he got back in Game 1 where he's just basically foul baiting at every turn and then complaining about the other team as if that's not your go-to move at this point. But Karl Anthony Towns was fantastic in the short time that he played. Mikal Bridges certainly continues to be a major factor. You know, it feels like not that long ago where we're talking about, is Mikal Bridges ever going to show up? He's getting benched. He's not scoring any points. And in these last couple of games, in these first two games against the Sixers, he has been worth even more first-round picks. 16 of 23 from the floor. Finished with 18 points in Game 2. And playing sensational defense, and you could make the argument his defense on Tyrese Maxey was the real key to the win, because Maxey was getting to wherever he wanted to for basically the first three quarters. And in that fourth quarter, he got shut down, and that was primarily because of Mikal Bridges. So fantastic job by him there. And then, of course, Jalen Brunson. I will say, I still think that the Knicks have enough to get it done. But as someone who has been when it happened, I was a Tibbs supporter. I felt like Tibbs got done wrong last year. To get the team as far as they got last year and to get fired after getting the team back to the Eastern Conference Finals, beating the Celtics in the second round the way they did, I felt like he deserved a chance to get that team to the next level. And then if you wanted to make the change then, okay, fine. Make the change with the coach. Maybe you make some change with the roster. That makes sense. But I will say, if it turns out that OG Anunoby is out for any length of period of time, the Knicks are better set up to succeed without him with Mike Brown, because Mike Brown has played more guys, right? Like he has more options, and it will not be. Even before this OG injury happened, he's played guys on the bench. He's gone deeper into the... Now, tonight, he was forced to because Karl Anthony Towns was dealing with the fouls and didn't want to lose him for the second half. And Karl Anthony Towns didn't want to come out. But I think the Knicks are... They've got multiple ways to beat you. And while it will be a real challenge if OG is not ready to go for Game 3, and at this point... Even though we don't know anything, we've not heard anything, the Knicks didn't say anything, Mike Brown didn't know anything, just use your common sense, right? It's the final couple of minutes of a playoff game. OG Anunoby is playing phenomenally. He's one of the guys you have relied on and will rely on in the final to close out a win like that because of his offense and his defense. He leaves the court hobbled, goes to the locker room. Nobody has any answers after the game. It would not seem to be the type of thing that's no big deal. You know, like when George Costanza went to the doctor and he wanted to get out of here, I don't think when it comes to OG Anunoby, we're going to get a get out of here. Not playing in Game 3, get out of here. No, I think that there's a very good chance that OG is not back out there on Friday. But if that turns out to be the case and he is out for some significant period of time, it's a loss. It's a problem long term. You know, to get to the NBA Finals this year, to maybe even challenge either the Thunder or the Spurs, it certainly seems like it's going to be one of those two teams. You're going to need OG Anunoby. But the Knicks are now, I think, better set up this year than they would have been last year where if OG Anunoby had gone down with Tibbs. And that is a credit to the coaching staff, to Mike Brown, to the front office that made that change, who believed in this group and believed in more players in this group than Tibbs clearly did. They are better set up now. They are better organized to be able to withstand the loss of even a significant piece, one of the biggest pieces on the team if OG Anunoby is unable to go in Game 3 or beyond based on that injury.